It's pretty interesting to me. You know, Jesus was and is our great example. Jesus was baptized, so as Christians, we follow suit after that, and we get baptized as well. You know, Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. So we today, as Christians, we advocate to Jesus, who advocates to the Father on our behalf. Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. Yet, here we go. In this one area, we struggle in it. We struggle in fasting. And it all has to do around that word fasting. We're going to pray this morning before I get into my sermon. Lord, can you come up here and hold my hand this morning? If you got a loved one beside you, husband, wife, best friend, hold their hand this morning. Good, we're coming together. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we love you today. Dear God, Lord, I pray for this message. Prayer and fasting, Lord, it's tough. And it's tough being a Christian. It's tough doing some of the stuff that you ask us to do, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just go before us today and do your precious will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, honey. All right, here we go. Now, let's be honest this morning. The majority of us have already picked out where we're going to eat after church, haven't we? All right? And if you're probably going to start fasting today, I know we're all probably saying, please wait till after the Grand Prix. We need to make some money. that wasn't funny, but it was. A lot of us have already probably said we're going to Texas Roadhouse. Who loves Texas Roadhouse in here? I know half you do. Oh, I figured. All right. Who likes Olive Garden? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. And who likes the Mexican restaurants?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's my favorite. I love me some good Mexican food. All right. That is what I love. Oh, who just likes to cook at home? Vicky, you should have raised your hand. I know you do. All right. I don't like to cook at all. I like to go out to eat. But I love food. Food is like a language to me. It's beautiful, and when you take that away, I get a little cranky. Does anybody ever in here get hangry? Oh, man. I get hangry, and it's not pretty sometimes, and I have to check myself. So that is always one of my things. I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to take away the food. You're going to make me take away what I love. Well, let's get into this morning, and let's talk about it. The definition of fasting means abstinence from food or drink, both for health or for religious or ethical purposes. So I'm going to read that again. The definition of fasting means to from abstinence from food or drink for both health or for or religious purposes or ethical purposes. Now, maybe some of you have never heard of someone going on a spiritual fast. That's okay. And maybe you've heard that one person who always broadcasts their fasting. I used to go to church with someone like that. It was always kind of funny. They used to broadcast, I'm going on a 10-day fast. And we're like, oh, you're supposed to do that in secret. that's not the right way to do it either. All right? And so we're going to talk about that. A lot of people right now are going into a season of Lent. All right? Now, as Baptists, we don't practice Lent. But what Lent really is, it is a corporate fast. What we usually practice is you have a personal fast. It's something you do that is very personal between you and Jesus. And it's really to be done in secret. Okay? We're going to look at our first verse here this morning. And it's found in Matthew 16 through 18. And a lot of the scripture that I'm going to be reading out today is found in the ESV. This says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fast may not be seen by others, but by the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's discuss this passage, shall we? The first thing that we want to do is when we go on a fast. What happens when you haven't ate for like 8 hours? Does anybody get that gloomy way? All right. I get a little gloomy. And what God is telling us to do is be happy. Amen? Be happy. This is not a diet plan. Prayer and fasting is, you might lose some weight, but I'm going to tell you, come off that fast, you're going to gain it right back. This is not a quick way to lose some weight. What it is to draw closer unto the Heavenly Father. So when we pray, don't look gloomy. When we fast, don't look gloomy. Don't disfigure your face. Ooh, some of us get that like sour look to us, right? God's trying to tell us, let's don't look like that. Because what do we have to do? We have to go out into the world, right? And so when you start your fast, look in the mirror, right? If you have to, try smiling in that mirror a couple times. See how that smile looks. Does this look good or not? Are people going to tell if I'm not happy? People know if you're happy. Does anybody know if you're not happy? My face shows it, right? I can't hide much. People know if I'm not happy. But when I'm happy, you're all like, hey, that's awesome. Really, no one should know that we're going into a fast. No one know that you should be going into this time. You are kind of masking that in a way. Now, let's continue on here. It says, anoint your head and wash your face. Hey, cleanliness is next to godliness, isn't it? That's funny. All right. What that means is, hey, look presentable when you're going out. Do you know we can get into this time when we give back on food and we're pushing back the plate? What he's trying to tell us here in Scripture is to look alive. Isn't it good to be alive today? My grandma used to have this saying when she'd come into church sometimes and she'd shake hands. She said, you know, it's better being in church than being in jail or being in general hospital. Amen? I'd rather be here than any place else. And it's so amazing what he can do in your life. Now, let's continue here and talk about this. What this is trying to do, when you're going into a fast, you're trying to draw closer unto Jesus Christ. It's building a relationship with him just a little bit farther. You're going just a little bit deeper in your life. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4. And we've got quite a bit of reading here to do this morning. So I'm looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And 40 days being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Let's stop right there. Jesus got hungry. He was hungry. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you, I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, who's talking here? Satan. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Amen? And him only shall you serve. And he took him up to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command the angels concerning you to guide you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Amen. And when the devil had ended, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let me talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about all the key points of this and what we got here. Number one, he was 100% God. Number two, he was 100% man. I love that it said that Jesus got hungry, because he fasted for 40 days. And in his humanity side, he had to eat, right? He had to eat. Now, let's continue on here. The devil tried to tempt him. So know when you're going to go into maybe a time of prayer and fasting, you're probably going to get tempted. I'm just giving you a pre-warner. You're probably, just be prepared. Brace yourself. It's okay. And the devil tempted him, and he said, well, you need to turn that stone into bread. Satan tried to get the Son of God to think that he was not the Son of God. Amen? Here's what it is. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, Jesus knew who he was. You can't tear him down. You can't. They always have this saying, you can't take a good man down. Well, let me tell you what, you can't tear Jesus down. He knew exactly who he was before the foundation of the world was laid. And so when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he knew who he was. Jesus responded that man shall not live by bread alone. Meaning this, we must thirst and we must hunger for God. Anybody in here hungry for God today? Every day we must hunger and thirst after God. I want to be honest with you. I can lift both hands in the air today and say, I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for him. And more in my life, I want him to fill me more and more. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You don't have to have a show of hands on this, but let me tell you something. Have you ever had family issues? Have you ever had children issues? Have you ever had just problems that you thought you would never get through? We all have. Can I tell you, that's when moments that you start going into your prayer life and you start pushing back the plate and you say, Lord, here's my issue. Lord, here's my family. I don't know what to do about this right now, but Lord, would you help me concerning the ones I love? Amen? Can I tell you, he still can today. I want to give you hope that God can still deliver, set free, and change lives today. Sometimes it takes action on our behalf. Sometimes it takes action on our behalf. Can we say that together? Sometimes it takes action on our behalf. Thank you for saying that with me. Now, when Jesus fasted for 40 days, that was an extreme amount of time. Scientists and theological studies say today that if you go much past 40 days, your organs start to shut down. So I'm not telling anybody in here today that you need to be going on a 40-day fast. Please don't take that from my message, all right? If you're to do anything extreme like that, that's not on me. If God talks to you about that, I would ask you if you have medical conditions or anything like that, even before you start a small fast, talk to your physician. Talk to your physician what you can do. Can I tell you, fasting can be even just putting back one meal. I'm diabetic. I used to fast when I was young, and I used to go on several day fasts. I can't fully do that like I used to. But can I tell you, I still can get the same effect by how having to put back a meal a day and doing it in very secret and private and don't tell anybody what I'm doing. It's a relationship between you and God. I used to watch my father go into prayer and fasting. And he'd make all of us sit at the table. They'd set the table. That's the only way how I knew he was going into fasting, because that was the only time that Dad ever set the table. We always set the table every other time. And he would come down and sit with us and just conversate. And then he'd pull out his Bible, he'd walk away, and he'd go into prayer. We never asked him what he was doing. We just knew he was fasting. A good starting point might be a 3-day fast for you, right? Be prepared. Be prepared when you do that. Or even another starting point, they say, might be a 7-day fast. Now, Laura and I one time went on what they called the Daniel fast. That was 21 days. But we still ate, okay? We followed what was the Daniel fast type rules. And I can tell you, during that 21 days, I was tired. Why? It changed my whole body. Everything that I was putting in me. It just didn't spiritually work on me. It also worked on me physically. And things that I had ate and things that I had loved, I detoxed my body from during that time period. So you will see changes as well. I'm not so pushing towards a detox here this morning. I want to talk to you about drawing closer unto God. Our relationship drawing closer to Him is so vitally important. Let's start with our prayer life. When you wake up in the morning, how are you praying? Or are you praying? That's a good place to start, number one. Start out your mornings in prayer. And instead of giving demands over to Jesus, why don't you take a few minutes to thank Him, all right? Take a few minutes to thank Him. If you write anything down, this might be a good thing to write down. Thank Him when you start to pray in the morning. I thank Him for about 3 to 4 minutes before I even get into my prayer. I thank You, Lord, for my family. I thank You, Lord, for my wife. I thank You, God, for a good church family. I thank You, God, for my friends. I thank You, God, for a good mom and dad. I thank You, God, for my boys. I start going down through all the things I thank Him for, and then I start to praise Him. Have you ever praised Him in your prayer? It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes I lift my hands and say, thank You, God, for what You're doing in my life today. God, I want to thank You in advance for just being a good father. I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in advance and what You're going to do. But Lord, before I can even get into my request, Lord, I just want to thank You today for being good. And maybe you haven't started there yet. Why don't you start with those? Those are simple things to do. Thanking Him and praising Him. And then we get into our request. This is where you take your petitions. The Bible talks about you take your petitions unto Him. What is that? I've learned over the years, I can't give Him every single want that Matt Parsons wants. Amen? Have you ever prayed a prayer that seemed not to go anywhere? Okay, I'm getting some things here. Yes, we have. We've probably all prayed things that we probably shouldn't have prayed for. Like one time I prayed for this real fancy car. Obviously, I was 18 and I never got it. I still never got that Corvette. Amen? Did I need that Corvette? No, I would have loved it. But that was the wrong prayer to pray for. We need to take our petitions before Him. And you say, what is a petition? Lord, here's a finance. Here's my finances, God. I don't really know what to do with them, and I'm not real good at them. Would You help me out here? Lord, I need to get on track, and I need to take ownership. Lord, help me to where I need to be taking ownership in my life for my job. Lord, I'm not employed. Lord, would You please bring that job or that career my way? Can I tell you, God blesses those who want to bless Him. Lord, here's my children. Here's my family. Start giving him those things and call them out specifically to them. Do you know Jesus has access right into the throne room? Amen? When you pray, you're praying right into the throne room of heaven. Think about that this morning. That's an amazing thing to me, is that when you pray, your prayers are going to Jesus, who then advocates to the Father above, and then through the Holy Spirit is reciprocating through your life and is working things out. Well, you say, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying for years and nothing's happened. Me too. I've had a few prayers that I've prayed that haven't came to pass yet. That's okay. Keep praying. Don't stop because you feel like your prayer didn't get heard. Can I tell you, over the years, many other prayers I've prayed have been fully answered, and God's done an exceedingly and above and beyond. I'm amazed by this one thing, is that when the early church came into place, they had watched Jesus' earthly ministry. They had watched him die on a cross. They watched him as they found him, that people watched him on the streets after he came alive again. And then they watched him ascend into heaven. Almost over 500 people watched him ascend into heaven. And then they set up the early church on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. They were there and they set up the early church. I am amazed how that group of people, 120 people, turned the world upside down by doing two simple things, prayer and fasting. You want to change Mansfield? Pray and fast. Tom Craft read a verse this morning, and it simply said about, talked about healing our land. If we pray and we seek God's face, he will do what? Heal our lands. It takes us praying and seeking God's face. A lot of times we're hoping, well, maybe the pastor will pray for me. Maybe the deacon will pray for me. No, you yourself have access to Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. And this is talking about Barnabas and Saul, and Saul is actually Paul. So let's talk about this for a moment here. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barabbas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands upon them and sent them off. All right. Here's what's really interesting to me. They were praying and they were fasting for a good work. They were praying and they were fasting for a good work. Without a show of hands today, I want you to ask yourself a few simple questions. And I want you to ask yourself, have you ever asked the Lord these questions? And you can write these down. Number one, Lord, where do you want me? Ask yourself that this morning. Lord, where do you want me? When I have went into a fasting state in my life, that is the main question that always comes out is, Lord, where do you want me? And when I say that is, Lord, where do you want me in the ministry for you? I believe that God has a calling on everyone's life. That calling is completely different for every individual. But I have had to self-examine myself through every single time I've went into fasting and to prayer and say, Lord, where do you want? I put my name in it, Matt Parsons. You have to make it personable with him. God, where do you want me at? Then you have to take your age off there, right? Some of us put an age on there. Well, I'm retired. No, God says take your age off there. You ain't retired out of the work of the Lord. Take your age out of there. Or you might say, well, I'm too young. No, take your age off there for a moment. And then ask God, Lord, where do you want me at? And so when you examine yourself during that time in that spiritual mirror, when you are going through this time of fasting, say, Lord, where do you want me at? And I will be honest with you, God will show you exactly where he wants you. But it takes us wanting to ask those questions to him. And it takes us saying, Lord, here is all of me. All of me. When we do get saved, we're supposed to give him all of us, not 95%, not 97%, not 99%, and we just keep 1% for ourselves. No, when we get saved, what are we supposed to be doing? We give him everything. And so you need to ask, Lord, where do you want me? The next thing I need you to ask yourself is this. Number two, what is my calling? What is my calling? You say, well, Lord, I'm not a preacher. That's okay. God bless you. That's awesome. Lord, I'm not a missionary. That's okay. That's all right. You say, I can cook. I know that's hilarious that if you say you find out that you're an awesome cook during fasting. That's great. Do you know hospitality is wanted in the church? Do you know how many people can get one to the Lord over sharing a piece of pie and talking about Jesus? A lot. You say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Maybe I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe I'm good in discipling. Do you know we need those here at Mission Point? Maybe you have a hidden talent that we have no clue about. And during that time, hey, we need it. God reveals to you, hey, I have a calling. So I want you to ask yourself, Lord, what is my calling? And if you've been struggling on that calling, I will tell you, God will tell you exactly what it is. Then, when you're in prayer and fasting, continue to pray and to continue to praise him and to continue to worship him. Barabbas and Saul, who was Paul, was led by the Holy Spirit. And with their answers, they were basically like this. They were the biblical example of pushing back the plate. They're a biblical example of pushing back the plate. What do you say when I say pushing back the plate? They fasted. They went without food for a period of time. This is my main question that I want to ask you today, and I think it's very timely, and I think it's very important. And this may be very simple question to ask you. Have you ever been stuck on your prayer? Have you ever been stuck on your prayer? And it's something that is very near and it's very dear to you in your life. And maybe you're just praying right now, but you've never fasted for an answer. I would ask you to consider to fast. Just like praying, I can't tell you to pray. I can't tell you to fast. I can't tell you to become a Christian. I can't tell you to get baptized. Why? This is all of your own free will. I can't tell you to do any things of these. The only thing I can do is suggest it will help you out in your life and that it will have a closer relationship with him. So let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? Jesus heard you on the very first day that you prayed. Amen? Let's talk about Daniel for a moment. He prayed for 21 days. And on that 21st day, he said, Daniel, I heard you on the first day. But what did he want from Daniel? Continual prayer, continual fasting until he got an answer from the Lord. Do you know God wants us into continual prayer? And we have to have a mindset that we are in a prayerful state. We should be doing that every single day of our life. Now, maybe you need to consider a fast, and you're wanting to consider a fast, but I want to tell you this morning one more time, a fast is not a quick way to lose weight. Amen? This is a time that you're drawing closer to the Lord and you're trying to get a closer relationship with him. Well, maybe you can't fast 3 days straight. I get that. I've been there. I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe just start with one meal. You pick out a time specifically in the week, just between you and God. You say, God, I'm gonna do this in secret. And maybe this is going to be my meal. That's a good way to start. And while you're doing that, what should we do? Set the table. Oh, you say set that table and I'm going on a fast. Why not? Make it look pretty. Set the table. What do we do next? Well, get out your Bible. Have you dusted off? Has some of your Bibles looked dusty lately? Get out your Bible. Dust that off. I went around the church this week and I started dusting Bibles. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. These Bibles are dusty. I dusted off Bibles. Friends, get your Bible out. Just not your phone. Set your phone down. Some of us need to fast from our phone for a while. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got an amen on that one. Get out your Bible for a moment and start reading. Start getting a connection with God. And then let's start doing something else. We got to do it in a repeat. You start with, hey, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for my family. I go in repeat cycle. That's like a washing machine. I do it all over again. And then I praise him. Lord, I'm lifting my hands today. I just want to thank you for being good. Always so, so good to me. Hey, doesn't God let you know that you're good? Hasn't he ever wrapped his arms around you when you had nobody else? Can I get an amen on that? Why wouldn't you praise him a little bit for what he's done for you? We have to praise him for what he's done. Now, I need to ask some simple questions here. I want to be very honest with you this morning. And I kind of want to talk to you if you're not a born-again believer. That's all right. I want to speak to you this morning. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you're probably already asking yourself this question. Will prayer and fasting even help me out if I'm a non-believer? Will prayer and fasting help me out if I'm a non-believer? And the answer to that question is there is no spiritual benefit for you at all. All right? I know that's not the answer that you're looking for. It won't help. But the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you get all the benefits from it. Amen? So you're going to say, how do I become a born-again believer? What's happening here? Well, let's look at Romans 3:23. And we're going to go down a little bit of the Romans road for you because I, as a born-again believer and as a pastor, I need to tell you how you can have these benefits. And the very first thing that I want to tell you is in Romans 3:23 is that all have sinned and fall short of the what? That means, look, everybody look to your left. All right, look to your right. Okay, that's funny, y'all. You should have seen my view. Okay, none of you are without sin. If you're looking at me, I've had sin in my life. Amen? We have all, okay, let's say it together. We have all what? Sinned. You're okay today. You're not out of the ordinary. That's ordinary, right? And then Romans 6:23 says this. The wages of sin is what? Death. This means that there is eternal separation between you and God. So say, here's God, here's you. This is a long separation if we're looking at the span of eternity. But I'm telling you, if you just come a little closer and accept him in your life, he'll be right here in your life. Amen? All it takes is one step coming towards him, and he will change you for eternity. And then Romans 10:9-10 says this. If you confess with your what? Mouth. That Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be what? Saved. Amen. I love that part. Do you know I like to tell people I'm saved. Don't you? I don't hide it either. If you want to know who I am, just come up and tell me. I'll tell you. I was saved in 1989, June 30th, at an altar. And it was panel wood. It wasn't even real wood. And God has been there ever since. Have I messed up? Sure have. Has he been an ultimate forgiving God? I can raise both hands this morning and say, thank you, God, you've been so good to me. Thank you, God, you've been so good to me. Can I tell you he can keep you all the days of your life? He sure can. Can he give you eternal security? He sure can. He's an eternally saving Father. What a blessing that we have in our lives today. Now, if you're saved and you're born again, what's the benefits then of prayer and fasting for you in your life? I want to tell you this morning, and I'm happy to let you know, you will have an enhanced connection with God like you've never had before in your life if you just turn it up a little bit. We used to say that we'd be getting in the fire. I used to hear preachers talk about that. No, that's not proper English. But they'd say, oh, we're getting in the fire tonight. And what does that mean? We're getting closer to the Lord. Maybe God's calling you to go a little bit deeper in your relationship with him. Maybe it is to have that deeper connection. Now, let's look at this, shall we? Next one. You will have an enhanced self-control. Because it also takes, in fasting, it takes discipline, and it takes willpower. Do you know, self-control is hard. Can I get an amen on that? Do you know, God will reveal things to you that shouldn't be in your life, and it's in your life when you start fasting, and you don't even have to fast, you can start praying, and God will start telling you. But I can honestly be realistic with you when you start turning it up a notch in your life. God will show you where the flaw areas are. He's shown me every time where I need to be, what I need to do, and where I need to go. And he also will bring brothers and sisters in the Lord around you to who? Give you an answer sometimes. Being very realistic about that. Listen to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. God might send them by your way to give you an answer in that time. Now, while fasting, it is to strengthen your faith, because fasting can be a test, just in general, of your faith. It can be a test, just in general, of your faith. And lastly, I'm going to end on this, and Justin, I want you to come and get ready. You'll have a greater gratitude for Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, I have a great gratitude for Jesus in my life. Do you? I love that he loves me so deeply, so passionately. He's passionate about you this morning. We're going to go into altar call this morning, and maybe you don't know him today. I want to tell you this. It's very simple. You can accept him as your Savior. You can believe on him as Lord of Lords, and you can commit your life to him fully. Now, maybe you're saved today and you're going through issues. Maybe you're going through a storm. I would ask you to just bring your whole family down today. It doesn't affect just the one person, does it? Usually, sometimes the issue affects everybody in the house. Ask somebody, hey, would you come and pray with me this morning? Let's all stand this morning. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd search our hearts, search our souls. Lord, if there is something there that shouldn't be there, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would draw nigh unto you and you draw nigh unto us. God, Lord, that we just have a closer relationship with you and a closer walk. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.